was beautiful singing. We had singer Nehemiah Rosenfeld, who's a shaliach in Nashville from Israel. He led some good songs and was a musical, really musical entertainment. It was really wonderful. Some Israeli, nostalgic and contemporary Israeli songs. And one of the songs that was there, you weren't there, so I can tell you also, was the song we're going to bring here tonight.
No, but I just want to say that we decided it before that we had
exactly
this, Erev Shira.
They copied us, not we copied them. Yeah, it's just to make it clear. And the song for tonight is very relevant because the lyrics are actually from our Parsha. From the weekly Torah portion, which again, we'll talk a little bit about the idea that like words from the Torah receive or are composed, arranged with modern arrangements, modern compositions, Israeli compositions, and turn to be hits in Israeli radio. So we'll talk a little bit about that tonight as well. So just make sure you're muted. Sorry for my voice. Just make sure you're muted before we start. And we'll be here after listening to the song. So enjoy Yonatan Rozel. One second, here we go.
Okay.
Welcome back, everyone.
So, who knows this song? I saw maybe Davida? Do you know the song?
We know again it's
not. So, I see Elise. Elise says she knows it. Anyone? Not so
sure
much.
I've seen that video before.
Probably. So the song is called Katonti, is the first word, right? I am unworthy.
Okay.
We'll share the lyrics. 2013. We've never brought a song from 2013, by the way, in this program.
Right.
So here we go. 2013. Words are from the Torah, and the arrangement, the composition, is by Yonatan Razel, who also performs the song. Let's share the screen with some lyrics and some pictures, because it's worthwhile. There's a lot to discuss here, a lot to talk about. So, I am unworthy. Katonti, one word. Yeah, that's a word that in this week's Parshat Vayeshev, we'll see that from Bereshit 32. That's Yaakov Avinu. Before he goes to meet Esav, he asks for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to deliver him, to help him in this meeting, this encounter that he will have with Esav after so many years, that he knows that Esav really is angry and furious about what happened with the blessings. And he tells God, first of all, it starts with gratitude. He says, I'm unworthy of all the kindness and all the truth that you have shown your servant. He refers to himself. He says, with my staff alone, I crossed this Jordan. He refers to the idea that he ran, he flew to Haran to look for a wife. He crossed the Jordan. It was only him and his staff. And now God really helped him and really made him large. And now he has two camps, so much cattle and people and children. And he says to God, please continue to help me just like you helped me before. In the next verse, Yonatan Azel took from Tehillim, from Psalms 86, where it refers to a deliverer that already exists. Like it's a thank you. If in the first verse he asks God to help him, then in the second verse he says, thank you God for helping me. He says, for your steadfast love towards me is great. You have saved me from the death of Sheol, from the Netherlands, the lowest of the Netherlands. And Yonatan Razel took those two sources, which are not so much connected, even though some commentators say that this verse in Tehillim refers to what Yaakov Avinu said.
Yeah, I think that it's mamash connected.
But he connected both of them and composed it. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about, before we talk about why he composed it and what is his personal meaning in the song, a little bit about
the story about the song, no?
So let's start with the story about the song. So,
okay. So here you can see Yonatan Razel with
his
children, yes. So Yom HaTzmaut, few years ago, the one on the left that you can see, the older
Rivka, that's her name.
Rivka,
she was 5 years old. That was 2010.
Was 5 years old, and on Yom HaTzmaut, she fell from the roof of the house, just to the land from the roof, and she was a ptuan.
She was very critical injured. She was in a very critical situation.
And it was a really hard time for them, for the family, for sure. And after that, and then a few months after, she started to recover and to become more health and to become more, you know, to the routine. And now she's with nothing. Baruch Hashem, she survived it, and like never happened, mamash. And he decided to compose this part from the Chumash and Tehillim to thank you, Hashem.
It's a personal gratitude.
Yes.
Yeah, a personal gratitude.
And it's a beautiful song. And I think that now we need to talk about this story, because Yonatan Razel, not all the life was a religious man.
I'll just say before we talk, I mean, again, he took this source from the Chumash, composed it, very emotional melody, you can hear it's very, very, he's very, very talented. Before we talk a little bit about his history, anyone knows Yonatan Razel from somewhere? Anyone knows him? So I bet all of you know him. And how do I know that all of you know him? I know that all of you know him because of this.
Arranged by Yonatan himself.
Anyone knows the melody? I see, okay, so many people do know. V'hi she'amda, a more modern melody that was composed, very, very famous in the Jewish world. Many, many families sing it around their seder table. V'hi she'amda, that was composed by Yonatan Razel, really brought him into the Jewish, I would say, worldwide musical world. And Cantor Meiser can say more on that one here. But really this one that he composed, this V'hi she'amda, in 2010 or 2009, I would say, really brought him into the mainstream of Jewish music as a religious composer. But he wasn't religious all the time. He has a very interesting story how he got to be this composer. So here you go. See those three over here? You already know that here in our program, there's a lot of singers that used to have this one lifestyle and then changed all to the other direction.
Actually, the last few weeks, I think that we gave them some example of that. It's really fun.
No, it is. But it's something that is essential in Jewish music, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Those three over here, the three folks over here, are the Razel family, the Razel siblings. Over here on the back, you have Yonatan, which you just saw him singing Katonti here in the back. And on the right here, you have Aharon Razel, his brother. And this is Rika Razel, their sister, Rivka, their sister. And the three of them grew up non-religious, non-observant at all, in Nachlaot, in Yerushalayim, neighborhood Nachlaot. We'll talk a little bit about the neighborhood. There's a lot to talk about this.
Someone been in Nachlaot in Jerusalem?
Yeah,
yeah, we've
been.
Okay,
okay, good. So we'll give you some recommendation about that as well. Yeah. And during their 80s and 90s, they were a trio of siblings that used to sing together different songs. And during the late 90s, they weren't so famous, by the way. They were known like in their own Jerusalem neighborhood of Nachlaot.
Young people there, yeah.
And in the late 90s, their parents decided they're going into becoming Baalei Tshuva. Becoming observant, and the kids who are also already grown up decided they're doing that as well. Each of them in a different timing, but all of them decided to do that with their parents, which is really interesting. And here you go; those are the three, and those are the three now, almost in the same spot. You can take a look on Yonatan here on the right, who's Yonatan here on the left, and Aharon in the middle, which is here on the right, and Rika over here. And the three of them they continued being musicians, and they actually became more famous after they became observant. Also, Aharon Razel, his brother, is very well known in Israel, and Yonatan. They're very, very, very...
Rika
is also...
More for women events, but yeah.
Yeah, more for women, even though now there's a little bit of change in that. We'll talk about it. But they really became like a family known from Yerushalayim, a rooted family in Nachlaot, that composes a lot of Jewish music, a lot of event and so on. They also have been to a concert outside of Israel and so on. They're very well known. But along with the success, we should say, it wasn't so easy, right? You want to explain what...
Success and Chazara B'Tshuva, both of them together. So after a few years, can you see here the news? Rika says that she felt that she's outsider. What I mean is that she's a woman. Both of them are men. And she wanted to sing with them and to do some stuff with them. But she's a woman, and some people in the religious life will decide that women cannot sing with a man or in front of men. So she felt like outside of the family and of the musical type in the family. So it was really hard for her to feel it. Now she's mostly in a women's event before Rosh Hashanah, during Chodesh Elul, on Purim, so you can see her in each flyer of a women's event, but with their brother, with
her
siblings.
Not anymore. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for her.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It wasn't easy also in Jewish mainstream. Another thing that this family was in the midst of a dispute, I would say, was something that happened in 2017. You can go to the picture.
Not just family.
Yonatan, but in general, the family. Yeah. Take a look at this picture over here. I see some of you maybe recognize the picture. It's a very famous picture in Israel. Yonatan Again, the Yonatan Rozel that composed the song and also composed Vehisha Amda, because it turned to be very, very, very frum, but he still wanted to sing also in front of women. In one event, he decided that, as he says, for the women in the event that would feel comfortable dancing in front of him, singing and playing, that he will put this tape.
It was really spontaneous.
On his eyes.
He took from the tape and put on his eyes. And it was something that
everyone
spoke about it after the show.
It was also, I saw before our session tonight, that it was also this picture and articles were also all the way to Britain in the Independent website, news website that they had. Like it was a big thing, certainly in Israel, but not only in Israel. Like how this, again, this guy that looked like this over here in the back and used to play in Yerushalayim, turns to this. And again, he apologized. He also said in an interview some month later, that was in 2017, he said in an interview that he even thought after this, really, everyone really he almost hated him after what happened. He almost forgot his, amazing musical skills. He said he even considered maybe retiring from music because of what happened. But eventually decided not to. And he apologized, said if someone was insulted, that offended, that he's sorry, and so on and on. But it turned him, if before that he was very mainstream, this song of Katonti, which the lyrics are from the Torah, was heard nonstop on the radio, nonstop was a hit, everyone listened to it. This thing, and also what happened with the siblings, with the trial, really a little bit pushed him off of Israeli mainstream. So Here in the program, we brought more than once a singer, or a songwriter, or someone that used to be not observant, used to be chiloni, and then changed his lifestyle, become religious, but he's still part of the mainstream. Yonatan Rozel, on the other hand, really a little bit got to the side of it. He's very well known in the Jewish world, in the Haredi world, also in the religious Zionist world, but not so much anymore in Israeli mainstream. And it's chaval. It's a big chaval. It's a big shame because he's a wonderful, terrific musical. And we thought
that it's a decision. He decided to take some halachot to do it.
That's his decision. I don't think he regrets anything of this. But This is him. So we thought in our program, it's also worthwhile discussing him because he had a wonderful role in Israeli culture, and unfortunately today he's not so much in the mainstream anymore, but still we should talk about him in that sense. More saying is that just to understand how big he was, even though he was religious before all those things happened, he received in 2013 for this Katonti, he received the Akum Prize, which is the number one prize of songs music in Israel. It's called the Akum Prize, and from in the description of the prize, they said it's followed. He said in his music, Yonatan Rozel uses Jewish sources and thus makes them accessible to the Israeli society. He said this comes to expression in the song Katonti, which is based on verses from Bereshit and Tehillim, where Yonatan uses the words of Yaakov before his meeting with Esav. Yaakov opens his prayer with gratitude towards God and describes how from being alone with his staff, he has grown into two large camps. The song Katonti, they said, touches the soul of every human being and conveys the victory of the spirit over the challenges in life. And he won this prize. It's a very prestigious prize for this song. And again, this Akum, we should say, it's not a religious institute. All right, all pop stars, everyone are part of it. And back then in 2013, and I would say also the back then, 2013, it's going to be now 10 years since the song was released, having this song from the Torah with this Haredi guy composing it, winning number one, was really a huge deal in Israel. A huge deal, and some would say that today it will not happen anymore in the situation of current Israel.
And some will say that maybe yes, with the Shai Riboz that we spoke about in him, or with Hanan Ben Ari, that they combine beautifully the religious world in Israel and all the other Israelis. So it's a big discussion in Israel.
We'll see if that will happen again. We'll see. Before we finish, we wanted to take you on a short tour into Nachlaot in Yerushalayim. A short tour. Again, one of the most beautiful neighborhoods in Yerushalayim. You can take a look a little bit of those alleys in Nachlaot. We're talking about the center of Yerushalayim,
yes.
Not
if
far
you know
from
Yafo Street, so all the small streets on the side of Yafo is Nachlaot.
Have you ever seen this umbrella's street before in Yerushalayim? So there's the main street in Nachlaot, exactly. It's a well-known street also outside of Israel. Many tourists and many Israelis, you can see there, it's really wonderful. If someone has a question, we don't see, so Nathan, yes. Now I see Nathan. Nathan, you have a question? All right, if you have a question, you can unmute yourself. Let's see, you want to see maybe a short video in English,
yeah,
touring this, a 1.5 minute video. Let's see, a short tour of Nachlaot.
Nachlaot is one of the most popular communities, neighborhoods in Israel today, and people from all over know about it. You can hear it's very quiet and calm. There's something very nice, very magical almost about the quiet alleyways here. Nachlaot is one of the oldest neighborhoods in Jerusalem and probably the most diverse Jewish community in the entire world. There's a huge range from all different types of Sephardic Jews to Hasidic Jews to totally secular Jews to non-Jews, and really everybody lives together in Nachlaot. And most unique about it is the shuk, the marketplace called Machane Yehuda Market. There you can find people of all walks of life coming to do their shopping, to hang out, to enjoy the coffee shops. It's a very popular neighborhood among students and among tourists, and is, to me, part of the essential Jerusalem experience.
So
I assume that most of you knows this street and also Shuk Machne Yehuda. But Idan and I want to recommend on one place in Machne Yehuda for you for next time. So next time, not if, when you're going next time to Machne Yehuda, go to Knafe Ir David. It's here on the corner, if you can see it. Maybe let's do it. Knafe Ir David. Knafe, how can we explain what is a knafe?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. Anyone ever had a knafe, by the way?
This one is a knafe.
Here. Vanessa had, I see, don't see everyone, but probably most of you had. Maybe you had it over here. It's a very famous place, over 60 years in Machne Yehuda, that sells knafe. Knafe would just be a very Mediterranean, Israeli Arab kind of dessert. There's cheese. And there is
yes, we need to understand that it is not Israeli dessert, it's more Arabic. But
adopted it, like falafel in a sense, or hummus, right? We like to adopt things from the Arabs in that sense, the Arab cuisine, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
The best knafe in Israel can be found in Machne Yehuda, in Nachlaot.
Yeah.
Next time you're there, you can more than please stop by, have yourself one plate. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And if you don't see when you're going to be there, although Priel said not if, but when, but until then, we brought here two recipes, one in the video, one in written down, a recipe for the knafe. You can make it at home. I'm not sure it will be as good as theirs, but you can more than welcome to try.
Make like something really good.
Her mother makes it really good.
It's wow.
It's really good. So we'll send it in the email and in a follow-up email afterwards so we can try to make it. If you make it and you want to invite us to taste it, we will not say no. All right? So that's how it is. But again, Nachlaot is a very, very, very diverse neighborhood. And again, you can see it in the song, Katonti, Yonatan Razel. You look at his history, look at his current lifestyle, look at his story. You can see that like this neighborhood is part of the music and part of it. So it's beautiful.
After the Yom HaTzmaut, when his daughter fell from the roof, they decided to move from Nachlaot to another
neighbor
in Jerusalem, so they're not there anymore.
Yeah.
But it's happened in Nachlaot, so it's a beautiful neighbor, and some of the people, like Yonatan Razel, maybe has not a beautiful story from there, but it's a beautiful place.
And you should all go and visit, so we'll send it in the follow-up email. That's all for tonight. Oh, I see that my hand is left. I don't know why. Let's do like that. Anyone has any question before we re-listen again to the song?
Just want to let you know that my grandmother lived across the Machne Yehuda.
Here you go. Here you go. One of the oldest neighborhoods outside of the old city. One of the oldest neighborhoods. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I see that Deb asked, what is the meaning of the word Kato? 1 second, Claudette. Sorry.
name, the Shin Shinim that came to that Israel 1 year, made that one morning in our kosher kitchen with a group of kids, and I took part in it.
So you had great Shin Shinim. I don't know if the Shin Shinim that were hosted by the Strausses were also made some knafe, but you got some very good Shin Shinim if they made some knafe in your kitchen. It's really good. There's nothing. There's no way not to like it. I think I see that Debbie asked, "What is katonti? Katonti means I am unworthy." Oh, she answered. Thank you. I made small and worthy. Wonderful. I see that Debbie also asked, maybe having a bake off with knafe with prizes for the best.
Yalla.
Maybe we'll do that before we return to Israel. Maybe we'll do that as a ending of our program. We'll see. So thank you all. That's our song for tonight. We'll listen again to the song. You're more than welcome to stay to shmooze a little bit afterwards, as usual, if you want to hear a little bit more of recommendations of the shuk or of the neighborhood. Thank you all for coming tonight. We will say that next week we're back on Mondays. All right, back on Mondays on 2:30. We hope really to see all of you next week. So thank you very much for coming tonight. And here's again Katonti by Yonatan Razel. We're here. You feel free to stay again to the song, or you can leave or stay afterwards for Shmooz. Thank you all for coming tonight.
It's a beautiful melody.
A beautiful melody.